Last time I spoke last month, Ron and I had just gotten back from going to Glory of Zion, Chuck Pierce's church in Corinth, Texas, for the Head of the Year conference. And so we had just started the new year, Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Hebrew year 5779 is the year that we're in. And as you study that and prophetically, it's the year of birthing, giving, and experiencing God's goodness. And so last time I spoke, I talked a lot about, you know, birth and pregnancy. And if this is the year that God is giving birth to the vision and the promises that he's put in you, then what does giving birth look like? And I was re-listening to what I said, and I was re-listening to some of the services and looking back at my notes and just continuing to be pressed by that idea of this being a year of vision, of a year of birthing, of a year of that which God has entrusted you with manifesting. And I made a statement in that last sermon that you are responsible for how you steward what you've been entrusted with from the Lord. Like, once God has given you something, you are responsible for what you then do with what he gave you. And you know, sometimes you look back at a message or at your notes or just even reading your Bible and something just pops out at you and you're just, you know, it's just highlighted. And so that was really highlighted to me, that idea that you are responsible for how you steward what you've been entrusted with from the Lord. And so tonight I'm going to talk about receiving and stewarding the vision. I'm talking about receiving and stewarding the vision, because as I was praying, I realized that we have three groups of people in this room. There are, and when I talk about vision, I'm talking about what God has created you to do in service for him. Okay, your service assignment from the Lord. Whether you are in full-time occupational ministry or not, God has something for you to do. Amen. And so that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about vision. And so group number one, there are people in this room who know the service assignment and vision that God has given them for their lives, and they are confident they are moving forward in pursuit of it. So they know what God has told them to do, and they are on the path with it. So if that's you, then my hope is that this message would encourage your heart to continue to press forward without discouragement or disillusionment. So if you know what you're doing and you're like, I am on that path, I want to be like, yes, go, do it. We're here with you, cheering you on. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. So then group number two, there are people who also know the service assignment or vision that God has given them, but they have no idea how to get from where they currently are to the future they see before them. They're like, yeah, God, I know what you have for me. I know the thing that I am supposed to be doing, but I am not there yet, and I don't know how to get there. And so my hope for you is that this message would help you know how to move forward and pursue all that God has for you, both in this season and in the ones to come. And then our third group, these are the people who do not know the service assignment or vision that God has for their life. And I think that that group also falls into two categories. One category would be those who just haven't been able to discern what God has been speaking to them. But they know there's something. They're just not confident in their ability to hear from the Lord, or not confident that they've heard. They're like, I know there's something he wants me to do, but I'm not quite sure what. But then there's another category of people who don't know the vision or the assignment God has for them. And those are the people who aren't even sure if God has something for them. And right now I'm talking and you're thinking that maybe having an assignment from the Lord is for other people, not for you. So before we jump into anything else, I want to deal with that last idea first, okay? Because that is a lie that comes from Satan and the pit of hell. That idea that maybe God doesn't have anything for you, that visions and assignments from the Lord are for other people, and that is too grandiose for you even to aspire to, is a lie. The idea that you're too young to know or to hear what the Lord has for you is a lie. The idea that you're too old and that you've missed what God has given you is a lie. It's all a lie. So I just want to take out two scriptures out of so many in the Bible that highlight what a lie this is. Okay, so first one is Psalm 139. Okay, you can hit there. When I preach, I like to make sure we're all on the same page. And I don't want to talk about vision and assignment when there's someone sitting here going, I don't think that's for me. Right? Okay. So Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. So that's verses 13 through 18, the first part of verse 18. So, word of God. Truth. God formed you. He formed you. He made you. He skillfully fashioned you. And before, you know, as people say, before you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye, a twinkle in your father's eye, he had written in his book days for you. So before you were even born, he was dreaming about you and your life on this earth and going, oh, and on this day, I'm going to give her this divine appointment. And I'm going to give him these skills and these gifts because on this day, he's going to do this. Or on this day, she's going to do that. He had dreams and plans for you. And so many of you in this room who are parents probably think about that same thing. You know, you're pregnant, you're having a baby, you're adopting, you're bringing someone into your home, and you're thinking, oh, what will they be? What is this going to be like? What is this person going to be like? And you're dreaming about their future. You know, I have four kids. And so as I've gotten to know their personalities more and more and more because they are who they are, is I go, oh, maybe they'll be like this. Or, oh, let me channel this way. Like I have one child who is very strong-willed. And so I know God gave them that for a reason. That strong will, that stubborn core is from the Lord for them. And it's my job to channel it so that they can do it because they have ideas and opinions about their life and they hold it hard, like super glue. You're not taking it away. And I'm like, man, when they hold on to the things of the Lord like that, like in the trouble to come, no one is going to be able to shake them. No one is going to be able to shake them because they hold it like glue. You know, and I go, what, God, what are you going to do with that? Like, what could you do with that? You know, and so even in the same way a parent, a natural parent, on earth, dreams about what may the future may hold for their child, God dreamed the same way about you. Because he is a good father, and everything that a good parent does is from the Lord. And it is even more extreme from the Lord. The way a good parent provides, the way a good parent plans, the way a good parent sets up a future for their child, God does the same thing for us. So for each one of us in this room, God has plans and purposes and dreams and hopes for you to step into. The other verse is Ephesians 2:10. So that verse is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Same thing. God fashioned us, he formed us, and he created us to do good. And he planned for the good that we would do. He planned out the good that we would do so that we had something to walk in. He made a plan for us, for every single one of us. So each one of us has a vision, an assignment from God that he put us on earth to do. Okay? We all together on that? Every single one of us has a vision, a purpose, and an assignment that God set us on earth to do. So if you're in the place where you don't know yet what that would be, then my hope for you is that this message would help you to hear God clearly so you have confidence in what he set before you. Habakkuk. Let's all go there together. Habakkuk. 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 I'm not ever sure where the stress goes in that. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. I like how no one's giving me the definitive way to say it, so I'm just going to keep going with the way I do it. Habakkuk is one of those minor prophets where if my pages in my Bible stick together, then I skip it. So I got to go slow. And I skipped it again. They're like stuck together. I don't understand what's happening here. Well, I have it written down, so I'm just going to go from there. It's after Nahum, before Zephaniah. It's on page 645 if you have the same Bible as me. When Ron and I were children's pastors, we actually bought all the same Bible that we would keep in the class for that very reason. So we could tell kids it is on page 720, and so they could just flip. Because otherwise you have some kids with like a story Bible and it doesn't even have all the books of the Bible in it. So they've like got the Precious Moments Bible Stories Bible and they're like, I don't have Amos. I'm just like, okay. So Habakkuk 2. And it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I'm sure a number of you in this room have heard that verse recited a bunch because people like to use it like, hey, you know, you've got something from the Lord. Write it down and make it plain so that people can run it with it. So that's what we're going to start with today. I will take my stand. Okay, and look out to see what he will say to me. In the Message Bible, that verse is, what's God going to say to my questions? I'm braced for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he'll answer my complaint. And then God answered, write this, write what you say. See, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right in time. So, I will take my stand. I was very surprised as I was preparing this message because I got acronyms. I'm kind of pleased. I feel like I've gone to a new level. Like I have an acronym now. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I grew up with Mike Peace as my spiritual father. He was my youth pastor. He married Ron and I. He was there when I had Zoe. You know, he has been at every significant moment of our lives. He is very much responsible for me being the person I am today. He is the first person who let me preach and take a pulpit. It was a mess. I preached on the armor of God. I think I had 15 minutes, and I think I got 30 to 40 verses, like, and I made people turn to every single one in those 15 minutes because I had read that verse where teachers are responsible for the Lord for what they preach. And I was like in holy fear before the Lord. So I was like, flip and go to this verse. Because I didn't want to accidentally slip into heresy, you know? So I made them flip. And that was when I was like 16. So, but Mike Peace, the whole point of that to say was Mike Peace is like the king of acronyms. Like he always has an acronym. He preached at Church of Love a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how leaders need to get their swag on. You know what I mean? And swag was the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the anointing of God, and they need to glorify God. So, you know, this is what I grew up with. So I'm not quite as cool as him yet, but I'm trying to get there. So what'd you say? You'll encourage me. Thank you. Okay. So he says, I will take my stand. And so my acronym for receiving the vision is STAND. So you're going to stand to receive the vision. So I'm going to say all the parts of it first, and then I'm going to go back and explain. So the S is to seek knowable revelation. Knowable. K-N-O-W. That kind of know. Knowable revelation. The T is take your time. The A is ask him questions. The N is note what he's saying. And the D is distill it to its core. I'm going to say those a bunch of times, so you're good. So S, seek a revelation that's knowable. Or seek a knowable revelation. God is a good God. So these are our assumptions. These are the things that we need to be on the same page about. God is a good God. He is also a just God. And there is coming a day where we are going to stand before the Lord, and he is going to call us into account for how we lived our days. Because God is good and God is just, that means he makes it clear how he is judging us, right? Because if you don't know, then you're not just. Like if there's no, like let's say you're driving down a road and there's no speed limit posted and there's no, like the app on your phone, your GPS doesn't have a speed limit and like there's nothing posted anywhere and, okay, now I'm going to start stretching the limits. You're in a state that has no standard speed limit, and you just, like, so you have no idea. Obviously, if you don't see a speed limit, like, have some common sense and drive at an appropriate speed. But if there is no way for you to find something out, if it is not declared anywhere, there's no research you can do to figure it out, then you are basically, like, blind. You have no idea what's going on, right? Obviously, that's not an excuse when you can figure it out, right? So, but the Lord, because he is good and because he is just, if he has set an assignment for our life for us to complete, that means it has to be findoutable. Otherwise, we stand before him and he goes, so why didn't you do A, B, and C? And you're like, I didn't even know that was a thing I was supposed to be doing. Like, what? You know? But my mom's laughing at me. And so he will make it clear to you, right? Because if he's going to judge you on it, he's going to make sure there's a way for you to know it. Okay? Are we all good on that point? Okay. So if the revelation is something that you can know and something that you can find out about it, then our job is to seek it out, right? Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I have like three versions of this written down in my notes. I'm going to do it a regular version first. Okay. So Colossians 1, 9 through 12. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So here we have in Colossians, we have a prayer from Paul. So Paul is saying, we have not stopped praying for you, church in Colossae, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. that you would have spiritual wisdom and understanding so you can walk worthy of the Lord. So this is his thing that he's praying for the church. He's saying, we are praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will so you can walk in a way that pleases him, that's worthy of him. He's praying that for the church. That is something the church can pray for themselves. So this is a prayer in the Bible. These one of the apostolic prayers. We call them the prayers that God wants you to pray. That's how Ron and I used to explain them to the kids. Like, these are prayers that are canonized in the Bible. Prayers for the church that are canonized in the Bible. So if we're the church, then these are prayers for us that we can also then enter into. Right? Good? Okay. It's like, I do not have any cash on me, so this is going to be an example in theory only. So if I was like, hey, I sure wish someone would ask me for $20. I sure wish someone would ask me for $20 because, you know, if someone asked me for $20, I would give them this $20 and let's say, you know. Yeah, and so if I'm up here going, I wish someone would ask me for $20, then what should you do? Ask for the $20, because I'm like, hey, I'd like to give that thing to you. So these prayers in the Bible for the church are God going, sure wish someone would ask me for some wisdom. I love to give them some wisdom. If my church would just ask me for some wisdom, I would give it. If my church would just ask for a revelation of my love, it's Ephesians 3, they would just ask for a revelation of my love, I would pour it down on them. Man, if that church would just ask me for some love, I would show them how wide, how deep, how long, how high it is. They would just ask. So these prayers in the Bible, that's the way I always think of it, is God going, hey, I put it in there for a reason. These are the things I would like to give you. Like, I'll give you other stuff too, but these are the things I really want to give you. So if you would ask me for them, then we are in business right there. You know, if you're ever not sure, if you want to pray and you're like, I just don't know what to pray for, open it up to one of these prayers. These letters in the New Testament, they're normally at the beginning, the very, very beginning, or the very, very end. If you pray those, you can have confidence and assurance that you are in the will of God and that he will answer it. So, right here, God's saying that he will fill us with the knowledge of his will, that he will give us wisdom and understanding so that we can walk in a way that pleases him. That we can do good works that will bear fruit, that we can increase in the knowledge of God. In the message, the message is like a paraphrase for those of you who aren't familiar with it. It's Eugene Peterson's like paraphrase translation of the Bible. So I don't use it as like a primary study Bible, but it's like fun to read how someone else is interpreting them. You know, so like if you study the Bible and sometimes you paraphrase it and put your own name in stuff and everything, you're basically doing what Eugene Peterson did. So in the message, it says, be assured that from the first day we hear of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. Okay, so I love that phrase. As you learn more and more how God works, you'll learn how to do your work. And then in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so this is just a couple of many spots in the Bible where God is like, hey, if you want to know what I'm thinking about you, you can ask me, and I'd be happy to let you know what I'm thinking about you. If you want to know what I want you to be doing, you could ask, and I'll let you know. Like, sometimes my kids, you know, I'll give them a set of directions, and you know, sometimes it doesn't get done. And then they're like sitting there, and all of a sudden they have like 3 board games out. And they're playing games, and I'm like, hey, why weren't you doing whatever? Oh, well, we didn't know how to clean the dining room, or we couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why didn't you ask is always the question. Why didn't you ask? And I remember that as a kid. So my mom would be like, why didn't you do blah, blah, blah? I'm like, well, I didn't have a broom. She's like, why didn't you ask? And so God is the same way. He's like, hey, why, if you want to know what you're supposed to be doing, why don't you ask? And so I don't want to live a life where when I stand before God, all of a sudden I'm overcome with regret. And he's like, hey, why didn't you ask what you were supposed to be doing with your life? Like, I would have told you. You know, I don't want that. Like, that's terrifying to me, is that idea that I could stand before God and he's like, you should have asked. Like, no, 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 no. Okay, so stand to receive the vision. S, seek a knowable revelation. It is not something that you cannot discover through the grace of the Lord. Okay? S. T, take your time. We are frequently in a rush. I mean, I'm in a rush. Are other people like in a rush? Like, okay, you know, people talk about, oh, we live in a microwave society where we're so used to things just being like, here, 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 here. You know, sometimes lunch will be a little late in my house and my kids will be like, I'm starving. Like, you can't be starving until you haven't eaten for at least 3 days. You know, it's like you're not starving. And so, because they're like, hey, you know, can I get this? Can I get that? Sometimes we're trying to put food on the table and we're still like serving. And they're like, can I get the ketchup? Can I get the thing? Can I get the thing? I'm like, do you see me? Like bringing, like, wait until it looks like I'm done and then see. And so we're very much talking about waiting and about patience in our home at the moment. And that's something God is constantly developing in me, is that idea of, I'm like, well, didn't you say, God, why hasn't that happened yet? One day I talked about that I hurt my knees when I was 14 years old. Right? I hurt my knees when I was 14 running cross country. And so because I had some imbalances, my knees ended up damaged instead of like spraining my ankle or something, which is what would have normally happened. And, you know, I was praying for healing. And my knees were messed up for 15 years. You know, like they got better, but still, you know, several times a month I would be in excruciating pain with my knees. I'd just be like, oh, okay, I can't really walk. I'm, you know, it hurts, they creak. You know, touch my knee and you can feel it like grating, you know, on the inside and everything. And so, and then we were in Kansas City. The first Friday night we were there, or Saturday night we were there, and they're like, I feel like the Lord wants to touch people's knees and their backs. And I had some back issues from pregnancies. And this, you know, I'm 29, and this like 19, 20-year-old young lady comes over and puts her fingers on my shoulder and is like, Jesus, touch my sister. You know, and I've shared this story before. I felt the fire of God shook from the top of my head down my spine to my knees and dissipate. Like, and in the past, you know, if someone before that moment had gone, have you felt the fire of God? I've been like, yeah, I think so. I think I've probably felt the fire. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, no, you don't think you felt the fire of God. Like, you know whether it happened or not. Because it was literally like, and I was like, oh, like, that's not what I was expecting. It had been 15 years, right? It had been 15 years. And she said, did you feel something? I said, I felt the fire of God. And she went, oh, that's good. And then she went back and she took her seat. And from that moment on, I never had another back pain or knee pain, except for when I actually, like, did something. You know, it wasn't just random. It was if I did something to myself. But in a moment, but who knows why the Lord did what he did. But you have to take your time with the Lord. Especially when you're seeking a revelation. Like, sometimes we're like, hey, God, tell me what you want me to do. Okay, he didn't tell me yet. I guess I'm going to do my own thing. Right? Like, it's that quick. Or like, God, do you have any plans for me today? Okay. I guess I'm going. You know, like, there's no break. You know, there's no moment. There's just, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, I guess I can do my own thing. There's no pause. Like, And am I the only one who is like that sometimes, where I'm just like, God, speak to me. Okay, you didn't speak. Right? And God's like, I didn't even have the chance to open my, what? Like, maybe you could stop. And so in Habakkuk 2, that verse that we read, the prophet says he's going to wait. He says, I'll take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and wait to see what he will say. He says he's going to wait to see what God will say. And in the same way, we need to take our time. Lamentations 3:24 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So we have a promise from the Lord that if we wait for God, he is good to us. Okay? If you wait for him, he will be good. And so the point of taking your time is, leads us right into A. Ask questions. Ask him questions. The Lord invites us into relationship and dialogue with him. Okay? Ron and I have been married for 14 years. And so sometimes when he starts a story, he'll start the story and then he'll pause like two sentences in. I'm like, are you going to keep going? And it's because he wants me to ask. You know, he wants it to be an exchange. Like, he'll be like, oh, so, you know, I had the most amazing experience today. So what was the amazing experience, hon? You know, like, right? Because that's how you create intimacy. That's how you create relationship, is you have a dialogue, you have a conversation, you go back and forth, you find out what the other person is thinking, you tell them what you're thinking, right? And so every promise from God, every verse in the Bible is an invitation to dialogue with him. This is the same thing. He wants us to ask him, right? He wants it to be a partnership, a give and a take. And so we need to ask God what we're supposed to be doing. When Ron and I lived in Kansas City, we were missionaries with the International House of Prayer. And so we had the privilege of raising our own partnership support. It was hard, but we learned so much in it. So after we did the internship, we took a course called FPD, which was Financial Partnership Development, where we learned why it was important for us to raise partnership and have a team, what that looked like, and how you went through the process. And because it was an intense chunk of time, they would say, they would have parents, if you didn't have childcare, like full-day childcare for the kids, they would say parents take it one at a time or just have one parent take it and the other parent stay home, but let it be the same person each time so that they can get it building. And so because I am the better note-taker out of the two of us, I took the class first. Ron originally wasn't going to take the class, but then after my experience with it, he was like, apparently I need to take this. Because it was a two-week long class from like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., so from like 8 to 12, it would be like hardcore note-taking, and then we'd have a lunch break, and then from 1 to 5, we'd be in the prayer room, and we'd have an assignment, like, we're sitting before the Lord, and we're talking to the Lord about this stuff. And I would come home every day from FPD weeping. And Rana's like, what is going on? I thought you were learning about how to talk to people about money. Like, what is happening? Like, every day I would come home, like, weeping about this, about just what I was learning about stewardship and provision from the Lord and his faithfulness to tell us what to do. Like, we went to Kansas City. Our plan was to be there for 1 year. We ended up being there for 4.5. And this FPD class is the direct reason why we were there, is because I felt the Lord changing my heart as I was dialoguing with him. And so the guy who teaches the class, Rob Parker, now he has a book called The Fully Funded Missionary that walks you through this process that he teaches in the class. And so he gives 4 questions to use to open up a dialogue with the Lord about what he is calling you to do. And these are not like the only thing you could ask God. But I love them because it makes you think a different way. You know, sometimes people are saying the same thing over and over again, but someone phrases it just slightly different. And you're like, oh, I get it now, right? And so these questions start to tweak things a little bit differently to help you kind of hear differently from the Lord, okay? And so to take your time with the Lord, you ask a question and then you wait. You wait for an answer. Amazing, right, that we could ask a question and then wait for the Lord to speak to us. So question number 1, if money and circumstances were not a problem, how would I serve you, Lord? If money and circumstances were not a problem, how would I serve you? And so that starts right off taking what for most of us are the deal breakers. Like we're like, I would love to do blah, 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 blah for Jesus, but I don't have the money. Or I would love to do blah, 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 but I'm tied to this job, or I promised this, or I'm in school, or whatever. So first thing is taking that off the table. If money and circumstances were not a problem, how would I serve you, Lord? And that lets you hear clearly from the Lord because you're not bound in fear anymore. Because if you're thinking about the money, then God can say something. You're like, well, obviously that's not Jesus because I don't have the money to do that. Right? So you're taking that off the table. Question number two. Jesus, how do you want to spend my life? And what do you want to purchase for yourself through it? How do you want to spend my life? And how do you want, and what do you want to purchase for yourself through it? So this question is like, have you ever gotten like your out of season clothes out of the closet and like you're looking through your winter coat and you're like, whoo, $20. You know, like you got money in your pocket and you're like, ooh, I have unexpected money. And so when you have extra money, like a couple things happen. You go, okay, what am I going to do with this? I'm either going to do something with it, or I'm going to save it, or I'm going to add it to some more money to get something bigger, right? Like you're like, okay, either I'm taking this 20 and I'm doing this with it, or I'm going to save it for this thing in the future, or I'm going to combine it with some other money I have, and now it's going to tip me over to do this. So it's like, Jesus, I'm like $20 in your pocket. What you going to do with me? You know, like that's the question. That's like the heart of the question. It's like, Lord, if my life is yours, what do you want to do with it? What do you want my life? What do you want me to spend my life on to give you? Right? Like that, I don't know where my husband went because I could use his thing. Hey, can I have your iPad with the lyrics for it? Just so I can see what that was. Oh, the last song that we sung. Last song that we sung. The 1 billion, 10 billion? 100 billion. 100 billion. I was not high enough. Thank you. That last chunk when he's talking about, as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. So it ends with, if you gave your life to love them, so will I. Right? So Jesus gave his life for those who are lost. And so we're saying, well, if you sang that song, you were promising to also give your life for something. Right? And so that question, how do you want to spend my life, God? What do you want to purchase for yourself through it? Is asking, what do you want me to give, God? What is my life going to be spent on? What am I giving it away for? Okay? Third question. Lord, in terms of my service assignment, and you can say that however, but we're specifically talking about what's the work we're doing for the Lord. In terms of my servant assignment, what must I do to stand before you without regret? So Lord, in the work that I do, what must I do to stand before you without regret? Like I was just saying, I don't want to stand before the Lord and be like, oh, I missed that. I should have done that thing. You know? I don't want to have regret when I stand before Jesus. So this is the question. Lord, in terms of my service assignment, in terms of the work that I do, what must I do to stand before you without regret? Last time I spoke, I shared a verse, and I was mentioning that when I was 18 or 19, that God used that verse and a series of other things and spoke to me in a really powerful way that the bulk of my ministry life would be spent in Rochester. So that is one thing I know that I have to do to stand before the Lord without regret. If I get to the end of my life and most of my time in ministry has not been spent in this city, then I will have not done what the Lord asked me to do. So that for me is something I know I have to do in order to stand before the Lord without regret. I have to spend most of my ministry life here. And so even when I spent 4 years in Kansas City, and even when we were considering about spending a little bit more time there, because we were at a time with our kids where we needed to make a decision, That was a very real reality before us. Like, we knew we were coming back to Rochester. It was just a matter of when. And we knew that most of my life was going to be spent here. Question number four. Lord, what are you asking me to do in this current season as your servant? What must I do to obey your will for my life? What are you asking me to do in this current season as your servant? What must I do to obey your will for my life? Because if we have clarity from the Lord, we can see something that's not going to happen for years. You know? But we still have to live at the moment we are right now. So it's like, okay, God, I know you want me to, work with HIV positive orphans in Africa. However, right now I'm in the Air Force and I have 4 more years left in my commitment. So it's like, what am I doing right now? How am I serving you in this season? Here's my end goal. What does it look like now? Right? Okay. So each time we ask a question, we need to wait for the Lord to reply. He might drop a phrase into our minds. He might give us a gentle impression on our spirit. Okay, we have to pay careful attention. Some people get the, like, angel saying, you will do this. You know, some people get the dream or the open vision. A lot of us just get, like, children. And you're like, okay. So you're like, okay, what is that, Lord? And then you get, like, another, da-da-da-da. And it's like, okay, right? So you have to steward those things well, which leads us into the end, which is note what he's saying, okay? You have to take what he's saying and, like, record it. You gotta keep it. You gotta write it down. Because we were doing some vision stuff when we were in Corinth, and so at one of the meetings, Chuck was like, hey, write a 3-sentence synopsis of your vision. And I was like, 3 sentences. Like, what do I got? 3 sentences? 3 sentences? And so I just have this, like, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. Like, what are all the things God's been talking about? Like, I'm like, okay, prayer, 24/7 prayer, writing, beauty of the Lord, Rochester, New York, knowledge of God, raising a family in the knowledge and glory of God, you know, vanguard, forerunner, ambassador, mom, mother's heart, bridge, joiner, joint, you know, all these little phrases that had been sticking out to me from past stuff, from stuff that God was saying right then, from the other meetings when someone would say something, I'm like, oh yes, that I didn't know, but that was the thing. That is what, you know? And so I just kind of had this, like all the things that God was highlighting to me, all the things that I had highlighted in my journal, the kind of things that were just bubbling. Okay. So you have to write all that stuff down. You can't, you know, a lot of times they do it in schools. I think they do it in some jobs where they have, like, the brainstorm. And they're like, no idea is stupid. You know, and so you're writing everything up. And your job at the beginning isn't to filter or evaluate the ideas. Your job is just to capture everything. And so when I say the note what he is saying, that's what I'm saying. Capture it all. Don't at that moment go, okay, wait, was that really you, God? You know, write it down. Write it all down. Ask, okay, God, can you give me some more? In Kansas City was where I really learned about getting prophetic impressions from the Lord. And I remember we were in a small group and we were doing this thing where it's to help you build confidence that you're actually hearing from God and not that you're, like, looking at the person and using your own knowledge about them to say stuff. And so he had, like, a quarter and we'd all have our hands out and he put the quarter in one person's hands and then he'd tell us all to close our hands. And so he's like, Lord, give us your words for the person with the quarter. So no one else knows who has the quarter, and so you're asking God, and so it lets you not go, oh, well, I know this about them, or feel like that's what you're saying. So you're just saying the stuff, not knowing who it is, and then afterwards they kind of explain, like, oh, yeah, that was because of this. And so we're sitting, and I'm sitting next to this guy who's from Redding, California, and was at Bethel, and was just really comfortable with prophetic impressions. And I remember I'm sitting next to him, and he's like, okay, Lord, give me a picture for them. I don't understand that picture. Can you give me a different one? Okay, what does the gate mean? Okay, why is that red? You know what I mean? And he's just like, and I remember like opening my eyes and looking at him when he's like, I don't understand that one. Give me another one. I was like, wait, you can ask God for a different one? Like you can be like, hey God, can you give me another one? And so just listening to him dialogue with the Lord about like, okay, what does this mean? What is that? Is there something more? Is there something in the window? What's that? What if I open the door? You know, him just asking these questions and teasing it out with the Lord. I was like, oh, like he is like having a whole conversation, a whole dialogue. And it really changed the way that I stewarded those faint impressions that I would get. And so the same thing, write it all down. Note what he's saying, okay? Don't process too much. Don't get too analytical. I tend to be an analyzer, right? So I kind of want to know it specifically right off the bat, you know, what it is. And so then the D, distill it to its core. And so D means distill, I'm sorry, means purifying something to its essence. Okay? So once you have all these kind of filters and questions, and you know, when I'm journaling, a lot of times I've got arrows going every place, and like this is highlighted, and this has a star around it, and now there's an X across this, you know, as I'm trying to piece things together. So then you sit with the Lord, and your goal is to end up with a clear statement about what God is asking you to do. So I have this huge list of stuff, and then I start going, okay, Lord, how does all this fit together? Which ones are the priorities? What is this? And so then I come out with a statement. Okay? And so your vision statement should not look like a job description within an organization, right? It should be a little bigger, a little broader, a little more general. Okay? Because if, let's say, example Rob Parker gives is he talks about being a shepherd to God's sheep and about feeding them the knowledge of God and word of God. Like, it's all about him being a good shepherd and teaching the word of the Lord. So that is broad enough that it carries him for his whole life. Do you see? Like, if he ends up working back in a Fortune 500 company, he can still be a good shepherd to God's sheep. He can be a good shepherd on a college campus. He could be a good shepherd in the military. He could be. So you see how it's not so, Lord, you are calling me to be a doctor in Boise from the ages of blah, 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 to blah, 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 to did it. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if one thing goes off the list, you're like, now it's all gone. You know, like it's a little bit bigger than that, where it can hold your whole life, right? Because if you're like, the vision that the Lord has given me is only to be a doctor, it's like, okay, so what happens when you're 85? Is there now no vision for your life? Because now you're not a doctor anymore, right? Like what if you're a woman and you're a doctor and you decide to take 3 years off to have babies? Or 10 years off? Like, now is the vision no longer true because you're not working as a doctor? Right? So it's like, you want something that's a little, the vision for our life in the Lord is a little bigger than that, because it should be able to carry our whole life. It should be able to carry all of our circumstances that the Lord knows that we don't know yet. Right? So if you're drilled down into something that's super specific that you can only do between the ages of 32 and 38, probably should ask the Lord for something a little bit different. Okay? So that is stand. Seek a noble revelation. Take your time with the Lord. Ask him questions. Note what he's saying. Distill it to its core. Okay? Good? All right. So then, once we have the vision, okay? What do we do now? We need to steward the vision. And I have another acronym. Steward. Steward is my acronym now. Okay. S. Stay prayerful. Stay prayerful. T. Take inventory. Take inventory. E, evaluate your context. Evaluate your context. The W is watch and learn from others. watch and learn from others. The A is affirm others. The R is recite the vision. And the D is dedicate yourself and double down. So stay prayerful. Take inventory. Evaluate your context. Watch and learn from others. Affirm others. Recite the vision. Dedicate yourself and double down. So stay prayerful, which is let God lead, right? Stay prayerful, let God lead. Ron and I were actually, we were talking about this message last night, and we were talking about how, you know, the Lord gives him a word. It's like, oh, you're going to do this, or you're going to be this in this location, you know, just like a small thing. And so then a job opportunity comes, and it doesn't quite match with that. So we're like, that's probably a no. I don't think that one's God. But then we still pray about it, and then when we're praying about it, God's like, no, that's a yes. And we're like, I don't see how that's going to fit. But then we get in it, and we start to go, oh, God. Like, you're actually smarter than I am. Imagine that, you know? And so stay prayerful, because just because you see where you're going doesn't mean you quite understand the path you're supposed to take to get there. Right? We talk about in Romans 8, all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. And so we're like walking, we're walking, and we're like, okay. I don't know if anyone's read Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. It's one of my favorite books. I love that book. And Much Afraid is going to the high places with the Lord, and she sees it, and she's like, oh, like, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And then the path she's on, like, turns to the side and, like, dips down into a valley. And she's, maybe this isn't the right path. And the good shepherd's like, no, this is the right path. This is the path to the high places. Maybe there's a quicker path. He's like, nope, this is the path that you're supposed to be on. But they're over there, and now my back is to it. No, this is the way you're supposed to go. And that, many times, is our journey with the Lord. We're like, okay, all right, I'm going here. Whoa, why am I suddenly? And God's like, no, we're good. You've got this. And you're like, maybe I could see that map you're using. You know, sometimes I'm using my GPS, and I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to turn here, right? But God is much better than our GPS. And so stay prayerful, because without it, you could end up doing a real delay because you're not paying attention to the way God's leading. Stay prayerful. First aspect of stewarding your vision. T, take inventory. And so once you know what God is saying to you, what you're supposed to be doing, you need to take inventory, right? You need to think about, okay, what are the things necessary for that? Like, what skills do I need to have? If God is calling me to be a teacher of his word, or if God is calling me to be a shepherd, or God's calling me to be a pastor, or like, okay, so what things, you know, you're just thinking, what things do I need for that? What things do I already have? What things don't I have? How do my giftings tie into this thing? What weaknesses do I have that I probably need to fix before I get to that point, right? Thinking about a realistic timeline. Right? Like, I'm 18 talking about, oh, the bulk of my ministry life is going to be spent in Rochester. You know, so let's say I live to, let's go to 100, because that's a nice round number. So Ron says he's living to 120, is what Ron has said. And that he's going to pose on the cover of GQ at 120 with all his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren surrounding him. And he's going to be like, whoo, whoo. And so I'm supposed to be with him the whole way. So, but we're just going to use 100 as my answer. And so, you're still back there. You're behind the screen. I keep forgetting that you're there. And so, he's back there like hiding, but he's there. So let's say 82 years. So I'm 18 talking about the bulk of my ministry life is going to be spent in Rochester. So I'm potentially looking like 60 years, right? And so I need to look at a realistic timeline. If I'm going, I'm spending 60 years doing ministry in this city, I don't have to get it all together right now, right? I don't have to have it perfect right away. And so there's a quote that says, we frequently overestimate what we can accomplish in a year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade, right? Like we see that when like you're losing weight, when you're like, ugh, 2 pounds per week, 1 pound per week, like, it's going to take forever, you know? But then it's like, if you don't do anything, like I've been in this place where I don't do anything, and then a year later, I'm like, man, if I had done that slow and steady thing, I'd be done, right? Like, Val, like you should have just gotten started, right? Like anything would have been better than just staying stagnant. And so we get so impatient, we want it to happen immediately, but we forget that, okay, if you just did a little bit at a time, you'd be done. Like I am significantly more introverted than my husband, and I don't always think about reaching out and connecting with people. And so it's something I actually have to like think about. And so when I was looking at the vision chapter in the Fully Funded Ministry, I looked back one, and he was talking about making connections. And he's like, I challenge you to make, you know, 200 different individual connections over the next 6 months. And I was like, 200? 200 different? Like, we know a lot of people. Like, we worked in schools, we did drama. So it's like, it's not the idea of, do I even know that many people? It's like, I know a whole lot more people than that, right? But I'm like, oh. So many people, right? Like, you know, but I can feel God tugging in my heart to like, hey, you should probably do this thing. And then he's like, that's only about one person a day. And I'm like, what? 200 people in 6 months is only like a person a day? Like, I can do a person a day. And so the accumulation of it is completely different. So when you're looking at your vision, think about realistically what that looks like. Like, that it takes time. You know, if you're like, oh, I believe the Lord is calling me to start a church and do. Like, it doesn't have to be next week. Like, you don't have to like go out and buy a building today and like, you know what I mean? And launch. It can take time, but before you know it, you're there. Right? Okay. So that's what the taking inventory part is about. Like, who are you? What skills do you have? What resources do you have? What do you need to work on? You know, how long is it going to take? What are we looking at? Is this something quick? Is this something long? What is this? You know, maybe like your 13-year-old knows what the Lord is calling them to do, right? And so it's like, okay, what aspects of that can you do now? What aspects are going to wait till you're a little bit more grown? You know, you're just looking at those different aspects, okay? So then the E is evaluate your context, okay? So it's part of your context is your community, the people around you. So it's like, are those in your life supporting you? What are their voices saying? You know, sometimes Ron will say something and I'll go, oh, I don't, what? Wait. And then he goes, no, wait, I didn't mean that. And he explains what he means. I'm like, okay, now we're on board together. But like, Ron and I are married. And so like, we need to go together into stuff. So if he's like, the Lord is calling me to sell our house and move to Borneo. Like, that's a conversation we need to have together. Right? Like, it's not just something he can do without any input from anybody else in our family. Like, it's a thing. You know, when we felt like the Lord was calling us to the night watch in Kansas City, you know, it's a 24/7 prayer room. So there's people who flip their schedule around so that they can be in the prayer room from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. Ron did it for a year, and me and the girls were still on a day schedule. And then my kids started waking up at 2 in the morning and saying they wanted to go to the prayer room with Daddy. And we were like, okay, is our family, like, let's figure out what this looks like. And so we decided as a family, we were going to do nights. And so we couldn't just make that decision and then the next day flip our entire schedule around. Like, we sat down with the timesheet and like, okay, what does this look like? How do we do this? Okay, what day are we going to do this on? I was pregnant, so I needed to figure out some different specific things with that. We homeschool. Like, we had all these moving parts to put in, but it didn't mean that we were ignoring what the Lord said. We are just evaluating our context. We are married. We have 4 children. What does that look like for us to flip our schedule around, go to bed at 2 p.m., wake up at midnight, go to the prayer room? Like, what does that look like? You know, and so we had to make a plan for it. Another part of evaluating your context is, who has the Lord put around you who can help you do this thing? Like, who can speak into it? Who can tell you about it? You know, like, Al and Casey have been such a blessing to Rod and I, because there are things that we know the Lord said to us, and the things that the Lord has said, hey, you're gifted in this area, or you're going to do this, and we're like, you know? And then we're at, like, dinner with Al and Casey, and they're like, okay, hey, you need to do this. You need to fix this. And we're like, hey, what do you think we're weak in? They're like, this, 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 and this. We're like, how do we get stronger in that? And so they're speaking those things into us. But we didn't have those voices before. So we had to look around and see, okay, who can speak into us? Who can talk to us? Who is there to help us? Right? So does that make sense about evaluating your context? It's like, what environment am I in? Am I in an environment that fosters this? You know, our church home, we have such a blessing where people encourage and push forward the vision. So you're like, okay, who in the church can help me do this? Who can run with me? Who can help me? Okay? So then the W is watch and learn from others. And that's, hey, if you're starting a prayer house, a prayer, if you're starting a church, if you're starting a school prayer group, if you're starting, you know, a once a month leadership luncheon at your church, not your church, at your work, where you're going through like the book of Proverbs or something, it's like, okay, who else does stuff like this? And how did they do it? What did it look like? You know, like, you, if there is a path, why take your machete and like clear 10 feet away from it, just like shoving down thorns? Like, if someone has already blazed a trail, like, walk the trail until you need to go off into another direction, right? Like, don't cut out something that someone else has already trampled out before you. Okay, so watch and learn from others. The A is affirm others, okay? Like, we are a body, right? The church is a body. Like, you're like the funny bone, someone is the pancreas, you know, someone's an eyeball, okay? And so, but we are all going together, and we go further together. And any vision that you have from the Lord is one part of what he is doing in the earth, okay? It's one piece of what he is doing in the earth. So you affirm what others are doing. You affirm what they're doing. You speak life over it. You're affirming the people who are doing the same thing as you. You're affirming the people who are doing something different. Like, I know I'm supposed to be in Rochester, so I'm speaking life over other people who are planting in Rochester. Like, I don't got to do it all. I don't want to do it all. So if someone's doing amazing stuff for the city, I'm like, I see you. You are doing it. How can I be praying for you? Like, let me speak life over your ministry and over how well you are stewarding what God has given you to do. Okay? Because if you are, like, miserly with affirming and encouraging others, like, you shrivel. Right? Like, if you don't bless out and speak out life, you don't get that back to you. Okay? You're just like stagnant water instead of a fresh spring. And stagnant water breeds, like, mosquitoes and pests and disease. And you don't want that as your life. Okay? You want to be a flowing, fresh spring of water, which means you need to affirm and bless and speak life over others. Okay? Whether it seems like their thing matches with your thing or not. Okay? You see them doing the work of the Lord. You speak life and you bless it and you sow into it, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's just your word sowing into it. Maybe it's actually finances. Maybe it's time. But you bless and you speak and you give generously to the work that other people are doing. Okay? That's really important because we get stuck sometimes just because we refuse to acknowledge work of God in other places. And actually, that's something that is really true in Rochester, is that we're like this weird city where we're like, oh, they're doing that. And instead of hooking into what someone else is doing and pushing it forward, we're like, oh, I'll just build the same thing over here. You know, and sometimes the Lord asks you to build the same thing. But a lot of times in Rochester, we're just like, oh, they're doing that. I can do that too. Instead of like, okay, why don't you just do the thing together? Like, what are you doing? Just do the thing together and be great for God, right? And so in our city, that's actually like a stronghold that we have. This idea of like, well, you do your thing and I'll do my thing and you stay in your box and I'll stay in my box and we'll just all be in our boxes together. We just can't overlap. we can't overlap, right? And so the way to break that curse in our city is to affirm and generously and bless and just, I see what your church is doing. Man, that back-to-school backpack drive you had was amazing. Can we partner with you next year and do that too? You know, rather than, oh, I'm just going to, like, being jealous about the blessing that God gave them. Okay? Like, bless, give life, and life comes back to you. R, recite the vision. Talk about what God is doing in your heart and in your life. Habakkuk 2 is write the vision, make it plain so that he who reads it can run with it. Like, talk about it because it continues to affirm in your own heart what God is doing, and you don't know who you're connecting with. Like, Ron and I have made so many connections just because we're talking about it. Like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. And they're like, oh, hey, you know what? We have this thing going. Do you want to connect with us? Yes. Yes, we would love to connect with you. Right? And so, talk about it. Because it keeps it alive in your own heart, but then also you get connections. Sometimes we're like, we can't do God's part of our vision, but he refuses to do our part. So if we're like, man, I wish I could get some connections so I could get this thing off the ground. God's like, how about you open your mouth? And you're like, maybe you could just give some people a dream and they could give me some money. And he's like, how about you talk to them first? Right? Like, if you just start, I'll help you. But we're like, maybe if I just stay here and I don't say anything, people will just come to me. You know, and we're like, God's like, no. You actually have to do your piece. Okay? And so the D is dedicate yourself and double down. So dedicate yourself to the vision God has given you. Say, this is it. I am going for this. God, I am walking with this. Whatever time frame it looks like, I am doing this thing. And double down. When I put this word down, Ron was like, double down. And I was like, no. It means, because I'm a words person, it means to become more tenacious, zealous, or resolute in a position or undertaking. So you want to double down on it. You want to hold on to the vision that God has given you. You want to say that, you know, we were singing, blessed be your name. You know, whether the sun is shining, whether I'm in the desert, whether it looks like I'm facing the vision or whether it looks like I'm facing away from it, God, I am going to hold on to this thing that you said, and I am going to hold on to it with both hands, and I'm going to continue to pursue this because this is what you've done for my life. You know, like, God, you've called me to the ministry, but right now I'm a janitor at the church. Be that janitor, right? You're like, God, I'm in the church. That's step one. Right? That's step one. All right. I'm holding the doors. I'm sweeping the stuff. Okay. I'm doing out the garbage. Oh, the homeless dude is by the dumpster. That's my ministry. You know, like, double down on it. Double down on the assignment and the vision that God has given you. Be tenacious about it. Be resolute about it. Be passionate and zealous about what God has given you because he has given it to you. Right? He gave it to you. And he wants you to do it. So on that note, I'm done. All right? Lord, we are your people and we are before you and we thank you that we are all a part of your body. That you have given each one of us a specific function. And so God, I pray that for those of us who do not know what part we are to play, I pray that you would speak to us. That as we ask you, that our ears would be open to hear your voice. That we would clearly know our assignment from you and how we are supposed to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How we are to fulfill that great commission and the great commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, help us see what our role is in that, God. And I pray that as we find it out, that we would diligently walk that path that you put in front of us, that we would not allow discouragement or disappointment to sneak in when it seems like it is taking time, God. Give us wisdom and spiritual understanding so that we can walk worthy of you. We want to be fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is the cry of our hearts. And I know that that is a prayer that you will answer, God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer, you can come down to the front and someone will be praying for you. We do have refreshments in the back, and so we'd encourage you to stay and to fellowship. I would especially encourage you, if you have a vision from your heart, like, talk to other people about it. Like, start now. Share about it. If you don't have one, ask for prayer. Ask for help. Start talking about it. All right? I love you all. Like, really, I just look around the room and I'm like, I love you all. Okay? Have a great night.